This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 7th of May, 1961. The title of this lecture is E-Meter Talk and Demo. This tape is 93 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape ends abruptly, as does the original master recording.
Okay, this is a talk on an E-Meter. 7 May 1961 to Hazy London Technical Staff. Now, this instrument is probably the simplest instrument on Earth and is the least known. There's tremendous mysteries connected with this instrument, and nearly everybody using it has developed a whole bunch of technology of his own on it, and a lot of that technology is actually in total avoidance of the purpose of the meter. There's tremendous numbers of things that you could say are this, that, or the other way about this meter, and none of them are right. It is a very simple machine. That's the first thing I've got to tell you. Now, anytime you put a simple machine, a simple piece of data in people's hands, what happens? You enter a simple datum, you blow out the confusion, right? Well, after all these years, we're still blowing confusion off of E-meters. Now, the whole fact of clearing today depends on this meter. If you can read this meter well, you can clear people. And if you can't read this meter well, you certainly can't. That's just the long and the short of it. I've seen a veteran auditor do a bad read on a meter. Audit somebody for a couple of hundred hours, factually audit somebody for a couple of hundred hours, and wonder why they weren't getting clear. It's just the meter. In SOP goals, a bad assessment, that it looks so good, but it's just not quite right, extends auditing time to 10,000 hours. I mean, simple. You just won't make it, that's all. It's an Aristotelian proposition. It's black or white. The funny part about SOP goals is it can be run on anybody. There's very little preparation actually necessary for it. If you get the right goal by assessment, by elimination, once more, there's no judgment here involved. You just shake this meter down for every goal the person has. And when they no longer have any goals, which are withholding, secret goals, childhood goals, antisocial goals, goals, what would you have to have happen to know Scientology worked? You see, all those goals shaken down until they no longer produce a fall on this meter. When you've got that complete list, whether it's 70 or 250, this meter goes none. It goes completely null. It no longer registers. When you got the list. All right, now having that list, you go down until you washed out all goals but one, just by going over the list and over the list and over the list and over the list and over the list, you find out, oddly enough, and this is almost an accident, and it just plays into our hands as madly, there's only one goal left that will register on the meter. I don't care if it takes you 25 hours to get the assessment right. If the assessment is right, you have saved all the hours of auditing the fellow will now invest without result. You see, it isn't that you waste time by taking a long time to do an assessment. It's you waste time by getting a bad assessment. You get a wrong assessment, you've had it. I mean, the fellow just isn't going to go anyplace. Now, you get a list of all the terminals. And when you finally run this meter completely null on a terminal list for the goal you've now got, you've got the goal. Now you run the thing completely null, you go right down the line, terminal, another terminal. What other terminal would represent that goal? Ah, good. What other terminal would represent that goal? What other terminal would represent that goal? What's another one now? Finally, the needle goes null. It no longer registers. In other words, you get the list of terminals so long as the idea of a terminal for that goal is producing a reaction on the meter. Meter goes null, you got the terminal list, that's it. Now, You go over this list and over this list and over this list and over this list, and mysteriously and wonderfully, if you go over it enough times, only one terminal. Boy, can you be fooled on this. I've seen an expert fooled on this. Enough times, only one terminal produces a drop. There isn't any single other reaction on the meter except one terminal. Oh, for a while he looked juicy. There's one that's going to fall, and oh boy, you say that's it, and then all of a sudden that doesn't do it anymore. But another terminal falls like mad, and then that's gone. And then, oh, what the hell? You just go over them enough, and all of a sudden one terminal starts to fall. And it falls, and it falls, and it doesn't matter how many times you say so, and it doesn't matter whether you kick the PC or drug him or dope him, it still falls. You get the idea? That's the terminal. I don't care how many hours you take to do that. That's well-invested time. Because the number of hours it takes to do a good assessment is compared to the infinity of hours in auditing you're going to spend if the assessment is wrong. You got the idea? Because the fellow's never going to go clear, so you've consigned him to an infinity of auditing hours. Because he'll never go clear on a wrong assessment. He won't even get better. How do you like that? Now, we have lots of processes we can make him better on, which have no assessment, like put your finger in your ear, thank you. And the fellow's finally got his earache over with, and that sort of thing. We can do things with other processes, but not SOP goals. It's infinity or a finite. An infinity of hours in auditing is the result of a wrong assessment. And a finite number of hours is a result of a right assessment. It's just that bing-bang, you see? It's just black and white. It's either that or it isn't. You're just about to get a new prehab scale, by the way. And it is a very, took me quite a while to figure out how I could deliver the thing properly and exactly what it was. But we've got this in the works. Actually, it's in the typist's hands. But this is the point. What do you know? It does assessment by elimination. If you went over the key points of the scale enough times, only one point falls. Doesn't matter how many other points fall, only one point falls. So you do an assessment by elimination every time on the prehab scale. Every time you do this assessment by elimination. As long as you've got three levels falling, you are wrong to stop. If you've got three levels ticking, you're wrong to stop. You go over that until you've got one level falling. And that is the level. The rest will blow off. They'll not is. Oh, heck, it may take you a couple of hours then to get the right assessment for the next level to run. Every time you flatten a level, why, it might take you now. I don't care if it does, you see. Because every moment that you run without the right assessment is totally lost in auditing. So how do you waste auditing time? You waste auditing time, well, various ways. One of the first ways is you run rudiments on somebody who is incapable of running a rudiment. That's a good way to waste auditing time. Let's spend 15 hours on rudiments on somebody who cannot produce any reaction on the body by thinking. The reason he can't is he alters his every command. So you say, what part of that somatic could you be responsible for, or some command? That'd be a bad process. What part of a leg could you be responsible for? You're going to cure up his PT problem. He got a pain in his leg or something like that. And you could go on and on and on and on and on and on. Why? Because the fellow is running. What leg has responsibility? Look, auditing doesn't work if they don't do the auditing command. So that alter isness has to be knocked out. Obsessive alterisms has to be knocked out, and all of this is preparatory to SOP goals. It's just preparatory. Now, what processes do you run to prepare them? Actually, the best known process is attention. But attention, or change, or an assessed change scale, or actually the new pre-have scale, which you haven't got in your hands yet, simply run without a terminal. In other words, you can start assessing on the pre-have scale with no terminal and run anything you can get your hands on. And then you loosen up the tone arm. And then you can come back and do an SOP goals assessment on the person if you've got him set up that way. We have had some remarkable recoveries on just running on the pre-have scale, by the way. No terminal, no assessment, no nothing. Quite interesting. But it sets a person up to run. The new pre-have scale will, because it's got all varieties of change and alteration in it. So it'd take out all the obsessive change off of the case, all the alteris of the auditing command. But that's beside the point. This is actually not a lecture on how to set a case up, because that will be too easy. I could say the best way I know of to do it is to take the new pre-have scale and do an assessment directly without a terminal on the PC, and you only do that when his tone arm won't move. He's got a stuck tone arm. And you run the levels that do make it fall in spite of the fact that it's stuck, because those are the automaticity levels. Get the automaticities off the surface of the case, and you immediately have somebody who can be assessed and who will follow an auditing command. And SOP goals grips them so with interest, with the right goal, that they don't alter his auditing commands. They're too interested. They're sitting right in the middle of it. You got it? So we've got this thing made, and it's essentially a very simple regimen. It fortunately, perhaps for us, is one which requires technical perfection. That's fortunately for us, because it means no screwball outfit. But imagine some outfit like the Grand Temple of Ishtar, or the Brothers of the Snake, or something, suddenly being able to pick up our technology, if it were terribly, terribly simple, and use it to plow everybody in on Earth. This was one of the points that maybe you weren't looking at, but I was. If it came out at the other end too simple, all you had to do was say bligablog, and the guy was had a terrific mental effect, you see. Or if you said subba hubba 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 boo boo or something, and some terrific mental effect occurred in the individual, it was susceptible to being used as black Dianetics, if it was too simple. Well, we've come out the other end of the horn, and we get an actual look at what it really is, and it's simply this: perfect adherence to the auditor's code. Oh yeah, but your black operations can't follow the auditor's code. Look, Freudian psychoanalysis is exactly reversed to the auditor's code the whole way. Everything we say in the auditor's code plus, psychoanalysis says minus. If you don't believe it, look it over sometime. They do exact reverse to everything that's in the auditor's code. Well, therefore, the auditor's code is not something they'd have any sympathy with, so therefore they'd never follow it, would they? So, all right, that puts a barrier across their track. Perfect TRs. Takes a person in pretty good shape to do a perfect TR. Why a perfect TR? Well, the funny part of it is, if it isn't a perfect TR, your PC, as he comes up through SOP goals, gets new PT problems and new ARC breaks with the greatest of ease. And if you're not administering it with perfect TRs, the individual is thrown offline and you're wasting auditing time like mad. And if your TRs were bad enough, he never would get clear. It's another barrier across the track, isn't it? A total understanding of this meter and a perfect use of model session. Now, a black operation would only use this meter to blackmail. That's the total use they put the meter to. Once more, it'd be booby-trapped. They'd never really learn how to run the meter. And model session. They couldn't learn model session because they can't duplicate. Those are the things that it actually takes to clear somebody, plus a perfect assessment. And we have a new book, E-Meter Essentials, which is quite comprehensive. However, what I'm giving you today are, well, most of it is covered in E-meter essentials, but I'm going to give you right now a breakdown of the material on an E-meter, which is probably even a little more simple than the takeoff point of E-meter essentials. I've thought of a new point of takeoff. It's a very funny thing. I get better at explaining things, and I've got a better explanation today on E-meters than I had when I wrote the book just 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now, here's this explanation. The reason I've given you, by the way, all of this rundown here on the subject of what it takes to clear somebody is just to try to tell you, look, guys, that's all it is. You know, I mean, there isn't anything else but those factors. There are no other factors. There are no sneak factors out someplace than those I have exactly mentioned. So if you say, well, there's something more that Ron hasn't told us, or something like this, look around to find out what fact Ron has told you that you're dispersing on, will you? Because I've actually now given you all the dope. It's taken 11 years to condense it, to find out all about it, to develop it, to get it into every case line, to require no vast mental gymnastics for each particular different case. I'll tell you how wide and varied Dianetics was. On several occasions, I dreamed up a complete regimen that fitted a case, and the case started to run on it, and then went out and invented a whole new Dianetics that applied only to that regimen which invented for that particular case. A fellow by the name of Altman in New York City, remember that? What did they eventually call that? Gestalt therapy or something. It was something real weird. But it was something that was invented for Altman's case, and it only applied to Altman. And he went out and he started a whole school of Dianetics. He might better have called it Altman's case. To get something that embraced all cases, and which you could use, and which wouldn't betray you in your hands, and which you didn't have to suddenly develop an enormous blue for this particular case, because this case was all different, has been quite a trick, and it's taken 11 years. And that's probably a very long time. But as Dick said the other day, in view of the fact nobody'd done anything until the 50,000 years preceding, that 11 years doesn't look very much. So don't feel betrayed that I didn't tell you all this yesterday as a favor, huh? It's taken me quite a little while to find out the words to fit the music. Things like this, and I'm going to tell you about an E-meter. Things like this. This is just a communication expression. And the moment I tell you this, I'm sure you're going to say, well, what do you know? This is a tension machine. That's all it measures. If you want to be idiotic and leave the electronics alone, it is a tension machine. Not an attention machine, a tension machine. The more tense is the individual, the more offbeat is the read. From the meter standpoint, the only thing you're trying to do is take the tension measurements out of this machine. That's the goal of clearing as viewed from an E-meter. Now, there's oddly enough the lowest zone of tension, which is there is so much tension in the world that there is no sense in doing anything about anything anyplace. And you've got an ambulant catatonic schiz. You've got a dead Thetan who is totally incapable. He thinks of himself as dead, you see. And he's totally incapable of influencing the machine. That's your first stage. But the machine, even on that first stage, although it reads the way a clear should read, it's the lower harmonic mockery of the clear, still detects perfectly. Because he's clear here, male 3, on the tone arm dial, she still detects here, female 2, on the tone arm dial. The needle's tense. You've got your sensitivity up to reading. So the machine still detects this case. And as a cross detection, the machine does not react favorably at all, and the individual cannot answer positively to his own satisfaction or yours any questions about help. That one he can't embrace. If you just ask him, well, how could you help me, although he's sitting here at 3, and you say, well, he's sitting here at 3, when I ask him things, there's no action on the needle, so therefore he must be a natural clear. You see? Well, look at this needle, and you're going to find out something about Mr. Needle. The needle is going to be in some kind of a state of dishabille, and it will be almost as stiff as you see that needle floating there with the cans unplugged. The needle isn't going to move off of that. Now, a severe test of it would be to kick him in the shins. The needle is still not going to move off of that. This does not look like a clear. It doesn't even vaguely look like a clear. The difference is the needle and the sensitivity knob. Your sensitivity knob will have to be up to get a third of a dial drop, sometimes way up. Otherwise, the individual is at clear mockery. Do you follow me? That's a mockery. And that's the Thetan who thinks of himself as dead, dead, dead. And actually, there isn't any use to have any tension anyhow, because it's all so tense that if I just stay here nicely dead. And although he's walking and talking on the subject of machinery, you know, he's all machine motivated, you'll find in his normal course of endeavor, if you ask him any questions, that he has all kinds of bad luck, that he doesn't quite groove in, but basically this, he doesn't believe anything can be done. I had the perfect case of this tell me one day. He was actually working here on press, and he told me, well, you can't possibly produce a story about tomatoes feel pain every 6 weeks. He knew a lot about press. That was what he knew. You can't possibly. See, there's no doingness. So there's no help, there's no doingness, there's no possibility. These are immediately detectable in the individual. They're not a deep searching detection you have to take. You just say, well, let's get busy and sort out these papers, and you'll get the answer, you can't do. There isn't any sense in sorting out the papers because. You got the idea? He says, I can't do. Well, now, doingness is the common denominator of the pre-havingness scale. And an individual who can't do isn't even on the scale. See, everything is can't do. Now, don't be fooled by this case, because the meter detects it at once. Sensitivity knob down here, look at your sensitivity knob. There is your best case detector. Not your tone arm, not your needle, but the sensitivity knob. Right down here in the lower left-hand corner of the meter. Now, that right there is your case detector. And don't forget it. That's a honey. If you don't know anything else about the tone arm or the needle as case detection, know the sensitivity knob. On these modern meters, if the sensitivity knob has to come up to 2 to get a read, the case is in bad condition. It's just as simple as that. Much less 3, 4, 8, 16. If you have to wind up this sensitivity knob at all, your case is in bad condition. You got that? That's diagnosis, if you want to call it that. Put the fellow on the machine. If you don't pay any attention whatsoever to the tone arm, if you don't pay any attention over here to the needle at all, you can tell on this sensitivity knob. If you have to crank this sensitivity knob up to get the case to get a 1/3 of a dial drop on the needle for a test, case in bad shape. Otherwise, it should sit down here, way down, way down. Now, your first test, of course, then, is when you hook up the meter, you balance the thing. You say, well, now it's sitting here at 2, snap in your cable. Fellow's got the cans. And you say, squeeze the cans. Squeeze the cans. And he gets a 16th of a dial drop. Bring the sensitivity knob up, and you say, squeeze the cans. And you get an eighth of a dial drop, and you bring the sensitivity up, and you say, squeeze the cans. And you finally get exactly one-third of a dial drop, and his sensitivity is at 4. Pay any attention to your tone arm, that's it. The case is in lousy condition. That's all you have to know. You don't even have to go psychiatric and say he's a catatonic ambiguosa. He's just in lousy shape. Meaning this, that we'll have to do some preparatory work before we can do an assessment, and that's everything that means to you. We've got to do preparatory work before we do an assessment. Let's find out a little bit more about this case. Now, you actually don't have to bring this sensitivity knob down here to its zero. You don't have to bring it down there for a third of a dial drop to do an assessment. You can still assess these people long before they've recovered on their sensitivity. That's interesting, isn't it? But the probability is you're going to have to do something with this case. Now, if this is in real bad shape, you're probably have to go and do something adventurous, just get him sit in the chair. All right, now let's look this over. Your diagnosis, we have said in the past, is tone arm and needle and sensitivity knob. Your first and foremost diagnosis, and most everything you want to know about the case, is told to you by the sensitivity knob. Now we can progress with our diagnosis. Now this individual, to get a third of a dial drop when he squeezes the cans, which is the cans held in his hands relaxedly, with his fingers not off of them, but just touching them normally as he would in auditing, you say, squeeze the cans. Now sometimes they go like this, you know, it's very jerky and so forth, and they keep squeezing. To me, that's diagnosis. The guy can't follow a simple order. You say, give the cans a squeeze. I don't know what he's doing with them. But you have to then educate him in how to squeeze the cans. That's not very diagnostic, but he squeezes the cans properly, just one squash, and then back to relaxation, and you get one third of a dial drop with the thing low. All right, that'd be all right. But you get a third of a dial drop with a sensitivity needle at 4. Individual's not going to have a lie reaction. It's going to be very hard to security check. All of these other things follow out. Why? Because the guy is very, very, very surrounded by tensions of all kinds, sorts, and descriptions. I'm using this word tension as just sort of an embracing thing. He's got all kinds of things going on, and he's got all kinds of tightnesses and tautnesses. Now, this coordinates this way. If you were to reach over and squeeze this cord, which comes out of his neck, a fellow who is up here at about 2 or 3 on a sensitivity knob will sometimes scream like a hog with his throat cut. That's painful. But if it is just exactly like a cable, you know, it's as though he had galvanized iron cable, not an upper muscle hair on the upper part of his shoulder from his neck over to his shoulder pit, and doesn't feel any pain at all, you can expect this thing to have to ride at 16 for a third of a dial drop. You got it? He's very tense and doesn't even know it. Now, how tense is tense? Well, actually, the fellow that can be nervous about being tense, or the fellow that can be jittery about being tense, or the fellow that can jiggle his foot, or scratch his head, or fumble his chin, is not in very bad shape. You go downscale, and this fellow is getting into the rigidity of rigor mortis. Now, that's in bad shape. Can't move anything at all, ever. That's your sensitivity knob telling you the story of your case. You do a security check, get you a third of a dial drop, and if this thing is up high, you know what you could really do? You could say to the fellow, well, why don't you get some oddity? And we'll security check you later. Because frankly, any security check that you get on this individual is going to be very suspect. He will, however, fall on things where he has crimes. But to clear him, oh my God. Well, we just had one. We just did 7 hours or so on a case to run a Joe Berg security check. Case isn't as bad off as cases go by an awful long ways. So that forecast that somebody reading at about 16 to clear every level you could get a tick on, what does that mean? That means a 25-hour intensive for one Joe Berg security check. Well, but oddly enough, it would do him a lot of good. He'd get off a lot of withholds, and you'd see that the needle was loosening up and this tone arm falling, and you'd, more importantly for diagnosis, you'd see that this sensitivity knob didn't have to be so high, okay? Now, always run a meter with a third of a dial drop. These meters are set. I check them over, and they do respond to that mechanical action. Another type of meter or another model or something like that, they might not respond that way. But this type of meter that I've checked out does respond that way. That you will get a proper fall if you have a third of a dial drop on a squeeze of the cans on the needle. Don't run one jacked way up with its sensitivity very high and with the needle flying around, because you don't get any significant read. A third of a dial drop at any given time during a session will give you a significant read, and it'll leave out all the heartbeats and so forth. Now, in E-meter essentials, it gives you a drill. Let's go a little bit further now. In E-meter essentials, it gives you a drill, and the drill is a body movement detection drill, and every auditor should do that drill. Just have somebody sit back and breathe and wheeze and cough and tell him to do these various things and watch the reactions on this needle. And this will teach you, after you've done it with your meter set up properly, and after you've done it, this will teach you that they are erratic, they are very fast, and that they don't in the least look like reeds. And you will learn rapidly to differentiate between a read from the bank and a body reaction. The fellow who shifts his thumb on the can sporadically, keep shifting his thumb or something like this, it doesn't even vaguely look like a read. You'll see that very soon. You'll see that after a while you don't even have to look up to see if he's doing something odd. Now you get into a rock slam as one of the needle characteristics, and you'll find that you usually have to check the PC. What are you doing? All of a sudden you got a wham wham of the needle. Well, kind of check the PC. What are you doing? That's the only one that looks like a body movement. But then that keeps up. And he couldn't possibly be doing this rhythmic body movement this well. So even that is detectable. Now it's the body movement that makes the erratic moves, and which the phrenologist that is taught in most universities today, or is it caldiosis, or they read stars, horoscopy, or something like that. These birds are so unaccustomed to a galvanometer that they never learned how to read one. And they think the falls are mostly attributable to body motions. They have been defeated by the body motion. So they say you never can tell on a lie detector or this or that because it's a body motion. And this is the first invalidating factor they give the meter. Remember that the basis of this meter is 100 years old. This is not a new meter. Century this thing has been around, and for nobody to have learned how to use it in a whole century was something weird. Now, of course, we had to set it up so that it would read for our purposes We had to redesign circuits. We brought it into a very compact package. The shelf life of this British, of the batteries in this British meter, and the consumption rate are the same. Now that's quite remarkable, isn't it? Did you know that you could take one of these modern Mark IV British meters, and don't do this, but you could leave it on in the case for weeks without running it down. Just leave it on for weeks and weeks, because its consumption rate is the same as shelf life for the battery. Pretty interesting, huh? Well, we've refined the living daylights out of the meter, and we've made it read, and we found out what these various components that can vary the meter mean. And we're not teaching you a new electronic instrument. All we're doing is teaching you a refined electronic instrument that nobody ever learned how to read. So don't feel that you're dense or stupid, particularly, because you don't instantly and immediately pick up how to read kneemeter. Because remember, it's been around for a century without anybody in the halls of learning even finding out anything about it. You know that this thing is part and parcel of every lie detector in the United States. Men are actually sent to the electric chair on the evidence of one of these things, and the guys operating them don't know how to read them. They don't know anything about the mind. They don't know anything about the track. They tell you it reads only sweat. If the individual sweats suddenly, you get a drop. And then when he unsweats, it's silly, then. Actually, the fellow with soaking wet palms and the fellow with perfectly dry palms can read more or less the same, as far as that's concerned. It has no bearing on it, but that's what they tell you, and it's very amusing. All right. State of case, sensitivity knob. Don't be fooled by it. If it's a high knob, it's just open and shut. If it's a high reading on the sensitivity knob, look out, because you're dealing with somebody who's going to alter his commands. That's all. There's the possibility of his altering commands. Well, you're probably have to going to do something with this straight on the pre-half scale to get the alterers of the commands before you get anything run. You got it? Simple. Let's put it this way. Let's make another remark on this. He is not a release. Now, the best person to run SOP goals on is a release. And if you were being terribly careful the whole way, you would make a release before you started SOP goals. The odd part of it is, if you're very good on SOP goals, you can do an assessment on a person who isn't a release, and you will make faster auditing progress if you do it. Normally, if you have a high sensitivity knob reading, it will assess only to a present time problem. Your whole SOP goals will assess to a present time problem. That goal, which is the present time problem for the case, will be the goal you will usually get. Something to expect, huh? Something to sort of know about the thing. But if you've released the person first or got him up in that general direction one way or the other, well, after all, look at the technology we've had over the last many, many years. I mean, you can do all kinds of things with cases. You can soften up this meter. You can make this meter read differently with auditing. Practically everything we've ever found out is now valuable to us, one way or the other. I'm not saying you have this enormous span of things, but if you know something that has made cases well for you, you know, it's just this. If you know something that has made cases well for you, something like 8C or something like this, you've made cases well with this sort of thing, you know. You've changed meter reads on them and so on. Why, that's a better reality. Make them a release with it, and you'll find the sensitivity is reading lower. If you've done something that makes the case better, you've produced a release. Now go ahead with SOP goals. Now that fits into your reality, doesn't it? I'm not giving you a whole new package and saying all of Scientology is discarded, but I'm telling you where it stops. It stops at SOP goals. SOP goals is itself, and it is very precise. How you produce this release, that's a matter that is pretty well up to you. I can give you numerous ways that will be highly functional on numerous cases. But by doing four or five of them, you will always have a case in shape to be run on SOP goals. All right, let's look at the next factor on this. This has to do with the tone arm. It's the tone arm, this thing over here on the upper left side of the meter. All right. Now, this thing reads at 5,000 ohms female, 12,500 ohms male for the body, and its read is monitored for the body. It reads the body. When a person is clear, you're not reading him. The E-meter ceases to read. It's hit its zenith. When he's a total, stable, mess clear, it has hit its zenith. The meter is no good from there on out. It'll always have to be used lower than that, however. So what have you got left here? You've got his body. And apparently a female body is 5,000 ohms, and a male body is 12,500 ohms, and that's represented by F with a circle around it, and 2 for a female, and the M with a circle around it, and the 3 for a male. Now that tells you at once why the lower harmonic case, the dead Thetan, why he reads at 2 and 3. See, I told you why he reads at 2 and 3, because he's a dead body. You go down to the morgue and put the meter on a corpse down there, and you'll get these same reads. It's very fascinating, isn't it? So you've either got the Thetan not mauling the body around and changing its density every 3 seconds, or a dead Thetan, which couldn't. And you have these two extremes, and the worst off case that you'll run into is, of course, the lower Mockery harmonic of the clear. Only he's really dead in his head. He's so dead in his head he thinks he's elsewhere while he's there. You ask this person where he is, you just ask this person where he is, he's always someplace else. In between that band, you have innumerable variations of this tone arm. Innumerable variations of the tone arm. But most important, and this is the most recent discovery, did you know there were, you know these are divisions. And when you hear divisions of the tone arm dial, it's 1 to 2. Look on your dial there. Look on your dial and just move it now from 1 to 2. One to two. That is called one division of the tone arm dial. One tone arm division, 1 to 2. Similarly, 2 to 3. Move it from 2 to 3. From 2 to 3. That is one division of the tone arm dial. Now back it down from 3 to 2. All right, back it down now from 3 to 2. That again is the movement of one division of the tone arm dial. Doesn't matter which way it moves, that is a movement of one division. Now, move it from 3 to 3.5, and then back to 3. Do that again. Move it from 3 to 3.5, and back to 3. That is not one division of movement. Not one division of movement. That is a half a division of movement, even though it moved up a half and back a half. The way we're running this thing now, our movements are so explicit that when we say it has to have one division of movement for the tone arm dial, or an eighth of the division of movement of the tone arm dial, we mean in one direction up or one direction down, not 4 times with a quarter. Now let's look at 4 times with a quarter. Move it from 3 to 3.25, to 3 to 3.25, to 3 to 3.25, to 3. That is not one motion, one division of the tone arm dial. Have you got that? That's not one division of the tone arm dial. No, one division motion of the tone arm dial, the way we're, this is a refined look at the situation, is from 3 to 4. Or 4 to 3. Now this may contradict some of your earlier data, but we've had to codify this thing, so we're expressing exactly what we're expressing. a quarter of a division of movement could be this. In 5 minutes, I'll move it from 3 to 3 1/4, to 3 to 3 1/4, to 3 to 3 1/4, to 3 to 3 1/4. Got that? That all took place in 5 minutes of auditing. That's a quarter of a division of motion of the tone arm down. Didn't matter how many times it happened, that's a quarter of a division of the tone arm down. Got that subtle difference? That's just so we don't make any mistakes about this. All right. Now, this tone arm is what we audit with. And you are being technically incorrect if you make a report like this. The tone arm dial was pretty motionless while I was running the process, but the needle was moving. Any mention of a needle during the running of a process is a faux pas. It has nothing to do with the running of the process. Now, curiosa, that it occasionally rock slams on you, is just curiosa. It's not factual. It doesn't immediately lead you into making any new decision or solution. It's interesting that there is something flying around. But let me give you a caution. Because this needle flies around, it is moving, isn't it? And your attention, it's moving rapidly, let us say. Your attention is liable to be drawn to the needle, and you're liable to start trying to interpret the needle as you audit a process. And it has nothing to do with the auditing of a process. We couldn't care less what the needle is doing. While we're running the process, we might as well take the needle and snap it off and throw it away. The only thing we're going to pay any attention to at all is this tone arm dial. If that is moving, the process is biting. And if that isn't moving, the process is not biting. And here we get a black and white Aristotelian fact. No motion on the tone arm dial, no action in the bank. I'm not going to bother to go into the details here today of why this bank action occurs and so forth, but the bank is moving, and the movement of the bank is registered over here on a broad, wide basis on the tone arm dial. Now, we're running processes today which do move the tone arm dial and which are sufficiently good that they cannot help but move the tone arm dial. If you're running the right process, the tone arm dial is moving. If you're running the wrong process, it is not. If the process is flat, regardless of what this needle's doing over here, if the process is flat, the tone arm dial is not moving. If the case is progressing, the tone arm dial is moving. If the case is not progressing, the tone arm dial is not moving. Simple, very straightforward. In other words, process on the tone arm. Now we take a look at this needle. What is the needle for then? That is for assessment. That is what you use that needle for. It is for assessment. There are several things the needle can do. And only one of those things has any real significance to you. What you are looking for is falls. They are called falls, drops, dips. There are numerous words used, but fall is actually the proper word only because it says fall on the needle dial. It says fall, and that means the fall is in the direction from set to where it is marked fall. In other words, a fall inevitably drops to the right and recovers. But it can go this way. It can fall, recover slightly, fall, recover slightly, fall, recover, it's still fall. All right, we'll take a fall here, and it fell, and then it recovered slightly and fell, and recovered slightly and fell, and recovered slightly and fell, and recovered slightly and fell. By the way, I don't pay any attention to this tone arm numbers here. These numbers don't mean anything over here on the needle dial. They mean something on the tone arm dial, but they don't mean anything here. I just noticed the other day somebody's marked this thing up for 2 divisions as 1 number. That will be changed. A division is simply the distance between two black marks on this thing. All right, with that repetitive and continual fall, the actual fall was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In what space of time? Well, I would say in the matter of 2 or 3 seconds. You know, it kind of pumps itself down. Well, that is the number of divisions of fall. Now, this thing is marked off with little black marks, and you have these, and you call them divisions. Don't pay any attention to the numbers on the thing. And that is divisions of fall. Now, diagnostically, the fall is the primary needle manifestation. Now, let's talk into these needle manifestations. Fall, that's primary. A stronger manifestation than fall is the rock slam. That's just all over the, I don't know whether I, yeah, I can. I can make one of these things rock slam. There's a rock slam. Just agitate, go ahead, do it. Agitate your toe and arm here and watch that needle. Let's move that back and forth rapidly. That's a rock slam, see that? Crazy. That's a crazy thing. That means you're right on the rock chain for the first time the guy ever decided to be another valence. That's right straight on the line. You get that thing, take it. That's your strongest read. Theta bop is a diagnostic read, but when you're really on the button, your theta bop turns into a fall. But if you're reading a bunch of questions and you get a theta bop, and you keep getting a theta bop every third question, theta bop, there's one of those questions someplace in the assessment list that is a theta bop question. And it has to do with leaving and death. And it's really kind of the yo-yo. The thetan's backing out of his head and coming back in slightly. Whether he's doing it inside his head or on the next planet, it doesn't matter. But he's going in and out. And he actually is moving in and out. He's moving. Tick, 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 tick. You go and call it like a yo-yo. The old child's toy. It bounced down and came back up and bounced down and came back up. And that's represented by a little tick, tick, tick that is almost exactly the same path. That's too fast a one. Now, if you just move this thing about an eighth of a division, move your tone arm back and forth smoothly, about an eighth of a division. Move it back and forth smoothly, an eighth of a division. You'll notice that needle rocking back and forth there over the same pattern. That is a theta bop. It does not matter a continental how wide the theta bop is. It can be a whole dial wide. Now, basically, I've always referred to a theta bop as something that did it repetitively. And most theta bops, which are going to be anything at all, do it repetitively. Now, if you refine this down to the knee plus ultra, you'd find out that one dip and one recovery at the exact same speed over the exact same area would be a one motion theta bop. You're now sort of nagging at the facts. It's true. That's perfectly true, but it's not very useful. That's perfectly true, but it's not very useful. You get what I'm talking about. Now, a theta bop has the equal halt at both ends. You see, you might as well call it a fall as far as diagnostics are concerned. If it fell once and recovered, you might as well call it a fall. But technically speaking, you could say, well, that was a one-jump theta bop, but of course it's diagnostic the way a fall is. You could differentiate between these two things. It would mean that the speed of recovery was the same exactly as the speed of drop. But it's still diagnostic. And it means the same thing ordinarily that a fall would get. If you saw that manifestation, sooner or later you're going to turn on what caused it. And then it's going to go rock, 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 rock. It'll do the same thing many times now. It means that you just tick the edge of a theta bop. So fall, rock slam, theta bop. All right? All of them are useful diagnostically. All of them. The fall is ordinarily what you use. you ordinarily use the fall. That's the usual action. The theta bop can be used as an indicator, but never put it down as the needle reacted. Put it down as a theta bop. Make the Greek letter theta and write bop after it. That simply means the guy wants to get out of there. He wants to die. He is stuck in a past death. And oddly enough, he wants to leave the assessment. Or he's got leavingness on his mind. It doesn't matter which of these things is true. You would merely know that some of them are true if he's consistently theta-bopping. Theta-bop and death are synonymous. Theta-bop and leaving are synonymous because death is leaving. The guy blows out of his head when he dies, so when he gets the idea of leaving, he also theta-bops. It's very simple. Returning will also give you a theta-bop. Now, what do you use for assessment then? Actually, it's broadly covered by a change of needle pattern. The needle is sitting there quietly. You read question, 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 and nothing is happening at all. And then you read a question, and it goes jiggle-jaggle. Well, we don't care what it did. Read the question again. It goes jiggle-jaggle. We really don't care what it did, you understand? It did something. The needle responded because we read the question, and that is the fundamental. Whatever the significance of the response are, that is the fundamental. And there's only one exception to this. It rose. I can hear far too much about needles rising. I can hear too much about this. I can easily be bored with this subject of rising needles. In fact, you hardly have to do anything to bore me with it. Because it means just one thing. It means the PC isn't confronting. And of course, that's why he's being audited. So, I'll show you what a rising needle looks like. Now take this thing and set it at 2.5. Set your meter at 2.5. And now move it slowly and evenly to 2. You got that? If your meter is turned on here, it is turned on and balanced and is in the vicinity of 2, you ought to have a read on the needle. The needle ought to be up in the middle of the dial. All right, take it from 2.25. Now very slowly over this period of time, inch it, inch it, inch it, smoothly, smoothly, sometimes even with little jerks, inch it smoothly up to 2, and you will get it. That is a rising needle. Now, naturally, needles have to rise for tone arms to recover, don't they? Just the mechanics of the meter tell you that. They have to rise. It's absolutely vital. Otherwise, you would never get another read anywhere on the tone arm, would you? And if you become too fascinated with a rising needle, you're becoming too fascinated with something which doesn't mean anything. It just doesn't, that's all. Beyond this is one thing. The PC has struck something he isn't confronting. Now, we used to use this rising needle this way. Anything that will stop a needle from rising is something the PC can confront, or is usually why the needle is rising. You can find out why the needle is rising by finding out what stops it from rising. Whatever stops a needle from rising is why it's rising. I studied ASW under a British instructor. I was running British corvettes during the war, and I was studying ASW, and they have to do with meters too, you know. They have chemical recorders and pings and bops and dials and Lord knows what. And I sat down in the classroom, and he gave me a lecture on the speed of sound. which went down to the particle motion of particles influenced by sound. We were about 100 fathoms under any information we had to have to run a chemical recorder, you understand? I was struck by the tremendous thoroughness of this, and after this particular instructor got through, after a long course of this and that on these things, I was very indebted to him for having given me all this stuff. I really knew about it, you understand? But I'll be a son of a monkey if it had much application to hunting submarines. You know, the physics of speed of sound and that sort of thing. And I got the idea of the thoroughness of this thing, and the thoroughness of this thing was fabulous. Well, I'm only mentioning this particular incident for this reason. Yeah, it'd be a good thing to teach you all about this E-meter on the standpoint of making you learn the circuit. You know, the resistors and capacitors and everything in the circuit and exactly how the balance wheels go on in back of this thing and so forth. That would be a good idea. And probably you couldn't be called a total expert on E-meters unless you could build one out of some old baling wire. You understand? But there is a point. There is a point where that information ceases to be of any value to you, because you are not building E-meters. Now, there was some sense in his teaching me all about the speed of sound and so forth, because I could do a calculation. But how sound existed as sound, I didn't need to know this. You understand? I remember that course because, on the one hand, I resented the living daylights out of it. I had already been using these things in action. And on the other hand, I appreciated it because it seemed so thorough. I'm only bringing this up to tell you, don't think that there aren't things about this meter you could study. You could study its circuit. You could study its manufacture. You could understudy its costing. You could study methods of improvement of it. Well, needle manifestations become an esoteric subject like the construction of the meter. Am I making my point? Now you can really start getting esoteric. I'll give you an example. There's a stage 4 needle. And that stage 4 needle can't be duplicated over here by this tone arm, but if you'll take it up to 2 1/4, now swing it fairly rapidly in a rise by bringing the tone arm to 2, and then pretend the needle's stuck, and then drop it back rapidly to 2 1/4. And then bring it up to 2, and then to 2 1/4. And then bring it up to 2 and pretend it's stuck, and then bring it back to 2 1/4. Got that? You see that motion? Well, you can't get the exact motion by moving the tone arm because it's a distinct stick at the top. Up it goes, up, and sticks. And then it falls. And then it goes up, and it sticks. And then it falls. This is a stage 4 case. You could hit the guy with a belaying pin. You could put him in boiling oil, and I think you'd still get a stage 4 needle. It is just a total no-effect sort of needle. Now, a stage 4 can be very tiny. I've seen them 1/2 division wide. It's not a theta bop, because a theta bop is back and forth equal speed. Actually, there's kind of a little flip on the end of it. If your needle was very sensitive, you'd see your flip on both ends of the theta bop. It goes over and flips and goes back and flips and goes back. And by a flip, I mean it kind of goes deep, 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 back and forth. Tick, 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 tick. On these meters, it simply looks like a little swing. But a stage 4 now, that's up, stick, fall. Now, it's very relaxed at the bottom of it. Up, stick, fall. It simply means a lousy case. You're going to have it already adjudicated down here with a sensitivity knob. You see? Nothing is having any effect on the case at all. Nothing. As long as you've got a stage 4 needle. To that degree, it's useful to know. You won't see them often. But when you do see them, nothing's having any effect on the case. But it's almost impossible for modern auditing not to have any effect on a case, so it'd be very brief that you would see one. We can blow up stage four needles now very nicely. I remember two famous cases that had stage four needles, though, that lasted through all of the early processes of Dianetics and Scientology, still with stage four needles. It's a no effect sort of a manifestation. All right, the prehab scale blow up that needle in no time at all, so why should we go into the particulars of it? All right, there's another one. There's a jiggle-jiggle, a vibration. The needle simply vibrates like mad. Well, you've got somebody with an alternating current ridge. Very important. So he's got an alternating current ridge. There's other stuff about meters. 4.5 means a crowd. If the guy is stuck at 4.5 on the tone arm, he's afraid of people, or he's stuck in people. You ever see travel pictures of the famous monastery in Greece where they haul people up in a basket? That's their elevator, and it survived down through the centuries because no invader can even get near it. He can't climb it. Have you ever heard of this one? Well, I actually did an E-meter assessment on its the head of that monastery a few months ago. And where was he? He was at 4.5. Naturally, living in a protected area up in the sky, you almost might say, that nobody could get near or something, he had done such a tremendous avoidance of people that he finally got himself stuck there. Incidentally, the only goal you could get out of this old man is he wanted to go to heaven. He believed his own propaganda. He said he wanted to have something happen with his eyes. He was going blind. That's what he said. But that meter didn't say so. He just wanted to die. He wanted to go to heaven. I tried to find a terminal to heaven, and I'm afraid there were too many people around for me to do a very good job of the assessment, because I could only spend about a half an hour on it or something like this. I got him straightened out enough so something could be done about his eyes. And after that, I turned it over to a local auditor. It would do something for his eyes. Trying to find a terminal for somebody who wants to go to heaven, who answers you nothing but in total doctrine. You see? Total doctrine. I mean, all your answers are doctrine answers. Have nothing to do with anything. He had no idea. He didn't even have a goal to be a priest. I gave it pre-session 38 to run the engram of his heartbreak when he was a young man at the age of 18 in the United States when he decided to become a priest. That was the point where his whole life had broken down and he decided to become a priest. And actually, he'd been trying to go to heaven since he was 18, in other words. But going to heaven, what is this? It's just a manifestation of a fellow trying to die. So, of course, he was going blind. He was making nothing out of his own mock-up so fast that what could you do? Well, what could you do? Well, you could find the incident where he decided to become a priest. That's what you could do, and run it. The old man wasn't in bad shape, by the way. And I mentioned people enough to him in the assessment that I kicked him off his 4.5 read on the tone arm. And obsessively stuck at 2.5 means a machine, a robot, a doll, that sort of thing. Now, these are just samples of bric-a-brac. Oh, yes, as time goes on, these things are very nice to know, and they mark you as the expert. After I'd taken a course on ASDIC from a British instructor, I was after that certified as a total expert, don't you think? I could probably build the machines. Now I can't even buy one out of war surplus. I've been trying to get one for a yacht, and they won't even sell me one. Probably an expert like that, he's least entitled to his machinery, isn't he? Now, these you might assign to esoterics. So get your levels of importance up here. Levels of importance. Terribly important that a reed on the needle produces, most ordinarily and usually and significantly, and which you always make record of, a fall. Next to that, a theta bop, more rarely, a rock slam. Most positive reads, a rock slam. Somebody starts rock slamming, and then you get him so he does nothing but rock slam on that question, that is the question that is producing the rock slam. And man, you'd better run it, because that is right on the rock chain. That is hotter than a pistol. Every time you come by Boy Scout, he used to have an ambition to be a Boy Scout. Ambition to be a Boy Scout. Rock slam. And then later on, he wanted to be a minister. No rock slam. And then later on, why, he wanted to become a choir boy. No rock slam. No action at all. And so on. You go over this list of assessment again, you get it up to Boy Scout, rock slam. And all of a sudden, no rock slam on Boy Scout. That is dropped out. But later on in the questions, he wanted to be a frontiersman. That rock slams. See? In other words, Boy Scout was borrowing its rock slam from frontiersmen. And we keep on asking him about frontiersmen. And the more we ask him about frontiersmen, the more rock slam we get. That's only valid if this other phenomenon takes place. No other goal on the list produces any fall, any theta bop, or any action on the needle, but frontiersmen produces rock slam. Well, then you're saying the same thing as frontiersmen produces fall, aren't you? So rock slam, you can classify for diagnosis as a very positive fall, that's all. Fall is what you look for. And don't go talking to me about rises. And don't start worrying me about how this PC consistently read at 3 7/8. And what did that mean? I don't know what it means. Who's kidding who? Got it? So what? That's interesting. And those of us that are fooling around with meters will eventually get this thing read down to a point where you could put any man or beast on the face of Earth on an E-meter, and we can probably tell what his name, rank, and serial number is for each life back, you know. That's way beyond what is needed to make SOP goals work or make auditing work. You produce a reaction on this needle that is different than the reaction you had on this needle, and you've got a reaction. But that's not true of fall, because you might have leered at the moment you asked the question, and he couldn't confront a leer, so now he's rising. Rise means nothing. Now there's another read I'll have to tell you about on this meter. And that is 7 on the tone arm dial. The limitations of manufacture of the meter prevent us from having a 7 on the tone arm dial. Very bright, a few months ago in South Africa, and made this horrendous discovery that there is a 7 on the tone arm dial, but it can't be reached by the tone arm. Put this thing at 2. Got your meter set there at 2, all right. Now, let's say he's a dead body 2. He's a dead Thetan 2. Right? Sticky needle, this, that, the other thing. High sensitivity down here. It doesn't read in these gradients, by the way, because the bank goes click and thud and shifts here and that. But an actual, totally slow read of this thing, of his recovery, will bring him down, this is the dead Thetan case, bring him down to 1.5. Now, if you keep him hanging at 1.5, of course, you're not making any progress with the case. This is not a suppression of the case because it's gone down. Actually, the way it reads is move it down now to 1.5. Now move it down to where it won't go any further. Now twist it all the way up around here to above 6. Now you see between that 1 and between that 6 on the bottom of the dial, there should be a 7 through which this tone arm should move. This is a limitation of the meter. You see, 1.5 is more responsibility than he had at 2. You got that? So to have more responsibility than he had at 1.5, it'd have to go down to 1, right? To take more responsibility for life than he had at 1, he's got to go over here to 6. And that's more responsibility than 1. And then there's more responsibility at 5. And then there's more responsibility at 4. And then when he consistently again is reading here at his 3 for clear, why he when he is cleared, he will just hang there, and it means he's totally responsible. Now, there's the cycle of responsibility on that action. And as you audit, that is the one factor that you can check a PC back against. Is he more responsible? Well, the dead Thetan is more responsible at 1.5 than he was at 2. See, but there is no 7 on your tone arm dial. The limitations of manufacture of the meter prevent this thing from just twisting all the way through and coming back again. Otherwise, actually, it's full circle. So don't think that the case that goes down to 1.5 is a special case. It is not. He's not a special case. He's more responsible than he just was. Only start worrying about this case if he sooner or later doesn't become 6.5. Got it? That means he's hung up. He's not making progress. But that's the way the case goes. Now, on ACCs, we've had this oddity of an auditor trying to read. Ordinarily, he would run one tone arm dial division, you see, between 1 and 6. Or he's really running 2. See? But here's the way he goes. He goes from 1, 6, 1, 6, 1, 6, 1, 6, 1. Got the idea? And actually, the auditor's having to twist his tone arm dial. Now, there's a point there, because 7 exists, where the meter doesn't read. There's a point where the meter doesn't read. And at some time or another, very, very rarely, while processing somebody, ordinarily, you will find somebody who is sitting at 7. And you can't get him on the top of the meter, and you can't get him on the bottom of the meter. And no meter ever manufactured will be able to compensate this because of the tone arm limitations of just having the tone arm on a pot. You got the idea? This is modern electronics. They'll have to change modern electronics before we can get a 7. You got it? You probably could design one that would run this way. But don't be too amazed if you go, for instance, from 6 to 1. 6 to 1. Or if all of a sudden the PC doesn't read any place. You start going this way. He doesn't read any place on the dial. He's not up. He's not down. Sensitivity doesn't do anything. Well, two things could happen. Either your meter's out, at which time it is just necessary for you to reach over and take the cans and put yourself on the meter. See? And pull the tone arm down. Say, oh, the meter's reading. Give them back to the PC. Ah, that tells you what all. He's at 7. Your PC's at 7. Just go on and process him on something you figure will work. Or go on processing whatever you were processing that got him on to 7. If you picked him up originally off the street and he was on 7, very rare this is. This is extremely rare. But it could happen to you. What's your final answer? Well, you'll just have to run him on something to improve the case. And he'll read on the E-meter. This is a bug in the construction of the meter. Okay? All right. Now, change of characteristic means that the meter on a certain question has its needle shift into a different action than it was in. It resumes its old action when you no longer ask the question. When you ask the question, it takes on any different reaction. You got the idea? A change of characteristic, that's all that means. For instance, it was theta bopping, and you ask him about donuts, and you started to get a fall. But you ask him about anything else, and he theta bops again. That's a change of characteristic. Now, reverse-wise, you were getting a fall, a fall, a fall, everything you say to the PC, you see. You say, well, did you eat breakfast this morning? Do you like Egyptian cotton? What color is a piece of tin? You ask him anything, and you get a fall. Well, that is the needle pattern of that PC. It's a fall, it's a fall, it's a fall, it's a fall, it's a fall. It'll be maybe a 1-2 division fall every time you say anything. Ordinarily, you'd get this if your sensitivity was just a little high. One of the ways to do it is just back your sensitivity off a little bit. But nevertheless, you can read through that. That is the pattern of the meter. You usually read from a still needle. Try to read from a still needle. But the pattern of the meter for this PC is a fall. Do you like Egyptian cotton? Have you seen a jeweler recently? Have you ever shot grapes? And it's a fall. The fall is always the same fall. And then you say, well, are you pleased with your marriage now? You get the theta bop. Aha. Aha. And you say, do you like the Union Jack? And you get a fall, and you get a fall, and you say, are you pleased with your marriage? And you get a theta bop. That means that that question is charged. But which question is charged? It's the one that produces the change of pattern. You got the idea? Now, more loosely, you can say that any time the PC has a charged question within his level of reality, you get a change of pattern. You could say a fall is a change of pattern, a theta bop is a change of pattern, a rock slam is a change of pattern, don't you see? So basically, you're trying to change the pattern of this meter. Now, let's get back to tension. This meter has to be set up higher and higher, and its reeds are tighter and tighter, the more and more tension there is on a case. And your goal of processing is to take that tension off, and the meter, of course, registers this. You get a low sensitivity knob. This starts to come in toward clear, and eventually tension isn't even registered on the needle. Sort of falls out in this order. The tension, as the case gets better, will fall out of the sensitivity knob. Then the tension starts, you see it's 6.5 on the tone arm dial. That's not untense. Actually, you go ding like this and the fellow hits high C, you know. All right, there it comes out of the tone arm dial, down, and he gets down toward clear read, and it pumps down over the hours and hours of processing, you see. Gradually pumps down closer and closer in, and eventually the tension totally disappears out of the needle. And the needle then is a free needle. We've been careless in use of terms. A free needle means the needle is free. A null needle means it doesn't get a change of pattern or react on the question. But a free needle just floats. When you've seen a free needle, it's become unmistakable. It just floats. It just floats around. Actually, it looks like your sensitivity knob. You can actually approximate a free needle by turning your sensitivity up maybe to about 16 on an average case and then not let him breathe. And you'll get a float. And this needle just floats around. And of course, that's no tension, isn't it? Now, when you've cleaned up everything in life that he could possibly have any tension on, which is called stabilizing a clear, you just go over more goals and more prehabs. Just do all the steps of SOP goals on and on and on. He starts blowing them by inspection, and it gets easier and easier from blowing. There's less and less tension on this needle, and eventually you can't get any reaction on the needle, and that's it. You got a clear. You got that? So just I've taken you now from total tension, which is dead thetan, reading it clear, then you get a read on up the line, more in different positions of the tone arm, different characteristics of the needle, eventually up to, at no particular stage of the game does it read a certain combo beyond saying, well, the fellow does not now have to have his sensitivity jacked up, all right, he used to have, so therefore he's getting better. The fellow is not now reading at 6 on the tone arm. He reads down around 3.5, 4. Well, he's getting better, don't you think? And his needle doesn't get sticky and unstick and do jerky things and so forth. And he's getting better, don't you think? And eventually, when the needle, the tone arm, and the sensitivity knob no longer produce, no matter what you do with them, any reaction on the thetan that you're auditing, of course, you can still, on a floating needle, you can pinch the guy badly and so forth, and rough him up enough and go like this in front of his face and kick him around. And if he did get annoyed with you, which is not probable, but if he did, you could probably get another reaction on it. You hit him with a truck. something, but now we're getting up to theta clear. Now this requires an entirely different meter. I'll talk to you in just a moment about the future of meters. This meter will always be necessary, just as it is, because it tells us everything we need to know in order to clear a person. Okay? We needn't know any more than this. We could know all about its design and how many pounds of weight the thing has. You could probably be flunked on an E-meter examination. So, what is the exact weight in grams of, we could get pedantic, you know, of a Mark IV British meter? Oh, you don't know? Well, you don't know how to run an E-meter. You get the idea. We could go goofy like this. As a matter of fact, they do in the Army. A private trying to make a lance corporal. Why, they ask him, how many pounds does whatever the current issue rifle weigh, and all of this kind of thing. And what is the exact muzzle velocity of a Stokes mortar? And he isn't supposed to know the exact muzzle velocity. He's supposed to be able to fire them accurately. The next meter above this is not a meter you would care to use on a person up to clearing, because it's an oscilloscope meter. And for you to stand there with a green line dancing madly in front of your face during all of the auditing where this needle is, you wouldn't like it. You wouldn't like it. It's interesting, and if the case was real sticky, you might take one of these O-meters or theta-meters, and you might put a low-tone case on it, and you might be able to get him unstuck on his flows because it registers flows, but you wouldn't like to audit him on it. I've already discovered this. I've been researching, by the way, for this next level meter for several years, and I finally got it boxed in so I know exactly what we're looking for and exactly what we've got to have. Now, that's as far as it's gone. Well, I've got some people building one as far as I go. But for you to audit with a going on here. Furthermore, they're about 2 feet deep, minimum, and they're about a foot and a half high, about a foot and a half wide, and you'd have to have the janitor come up and move it in your auditing room, because they're heavy. Now, a big one, which it may eventually have to be, is so big that took Peter and myself, and we were very happy when we set it down, to carry in the last experimental model into this office. It took the two of us, staggering. So it's not practical from that standpoint. But it is practical from the point that if you're going to audit somebody up from clear, you have to have something that reads in micro-microvolts. You have to have something which is so sensitive that there's the body, and there's the thetan. Now, if the thetan is still in connection with his body in any way, shape, or form, it'll read on the meter. You see? So you'd be able to tell what he's thinking and what he can't confront electrically, you see? And you'd be able to sort him out, even though he was off the top of this meter, with this new theta meter, you see? He'd think, I hate cops, you know? He's clear as far as earth body is concerned and that sort of thing, but he's still got bugs. Because, look, I'll point something out to you. He cannot, well, he builds houses. That's kind of remarkable when you come to think about it. He builds houses. He builds them. You know, he puts planks together and puts up windows. Why doesn't he say, house? There's the house. So there must be something wrong with him. Obvious, isn't it? This actually doesn't read any higher than about 20 on the tone scale. This goes up to about 20 on the tone scale. From 20 to 40 on the tone scale, you need another piece of equipment. Why? Because this measures games conditions called physical universe, and you need something that shades the tiniest, tiniest thing to read the next level up. But this will take you to clear. Now, the funny part of it is that everything you need to know about this meter I have given you in this talk. Anything else you need to know about this meter? Assess on the needle? Process on the tone arm? diagnose on the sensitivity now. The thing represents tension. The higher these things have to be set up, the more tension is in the PC. And as you run it, you are simply taking the tension out of the PC and the needles and the toner and the sensitivity knob read more and more comfortably. And eventually, when they don't read at all, you've got a stable mess clear. And when I say they don't read at all, it's just frankly that. I have a piece of news for you, just I might as well put onto this last few inches of tape here that's running that you'll be interested in. We have theoretically transcended mesh universe weapons. I may not mean much to you as a sudden statement, but as you go off the top of this meter, in other words, the meter is no longer active on the individual, it means his tolerance of motion, his tolerance of change is so great that if you hit him with a bullet, you wouldn't hurt him. You probably wouldn't even be able to hit him with a bullet. And the big boys walking up and down and mocking up space flights, whether from their arsenals of atom bombs, here they are with their nice polished atom bombs that can wipe out the world and so forth. Well, nobody developed a defense against the atom bomb, and for a number of years, I actually worked on mess defenses against an atom bomb, and I know they could be developed, but it would cost billions, and we all of a sudden have a defense against the atom bomb. A person who is super cleared, probably up around the level of theta clear, is not affected by them. He could probably stand right in the middle of an atom bomb blast, but his tolerance of change would be so great